Bless the beasts and the children, for in this world they have no voice, they have no choice. Bless the beasts and the children, for the world can never.
Beautiful song by the Carpenters, encouraging us to bless the beasts and the children, especially the children. Wow, they need us so much. They need us so much. So many adults do so much good for so many children. And I applaud you, those of you who are advocates for the children, those of you who are good parents to your children. I really applaud you for the good you do for our children. But of course, we know that when we look at the whole story, the complete picture, there are people who do a lot to harm many children as well. Whether we have family members harming children, politicians harming children, we the people harming other people's children through our votes, you name it. We need to bless not only the beasts, but especially the children. Well, one of those ways that people, especially older people, do harm to our children is by, well, developing this whole problem of stereotyping. Before we begin to delve into our discussion of it, though, I'd like for you to hear what they have to say about our brains and stereotyping on Seeker.com, the connection between our brain, our stereotyping. And I'd like to preface it by asking this question. Is all of your stereotyping, or if you don't stereotype, but you know other people who do stereotype, do you suppose that stereotyping is a completely voluntary action? Let's check this out.
My name's Trace, and this is our episode on stereotypes. Welcome. We're going to talk about how we got stereotypes, why they even exist, and why we got stuck with them, and if there's a way to fix them. But first, what is it about stereotypes that's going on in our brains? What's happening? What are we doing when we stereotype? We stereotype immediately and unconsciously all the time. Let me give you some examples. Asians are good at math, right? Women are bad drivers. Olds don't know how to internet. Like, these are all things that people stereotype about, but are any of these true? Probably not. You probably stereotyped me as soon as this episode started. In a fraction of a second, you thought, oh, it's got gender, race, age. So then you picked the social groups that I belong to and then categorized me and put me into some box that made your brain happy. We stereotype or categorize because it's ingrained in us. It's part of being human. Now, stereotyping is generally a bad thing. You know, we don't want to make broad generalizations and assumptions that define individuals. That's not healthy. But what the brain initially intended stereotyping to do was there was a way to interact more efficiently. You take information, you process it, and simplify it. You generally wouldn't ask an elderly woman to help you change a tire or ask a kid if they could bum a smoke, because stereotypically speaking, that elderly woman isn't going to be able to help you change the tire particularly easily, and children probably don't have a pack of smokes on them. You could be wrong, because stereotypes frequently are, but you're probably not wrong. Our brain developed a system to store anything we absorb from society, whether it's true or not true, and put it into a spectrum of similarity. Anything and everything can be viewed or heard, can be read or smelled or tasted. That's all interpreted by our brain and added to this file that we can then pull from later. It's processed in this way. Let's walk through the brain a little bit. The temporal lobe processes sensory input into meaning, and then works with the anterior temporal lobe, which stores knowledge about people and social groups. And then the dorsal medial prefrontal cortex, which supports the formation of impressions, because that's what the cortex does, it gives context, which is then used by the inferior frontal gyrus to decide whether a situation is safe or not. With all these different parts of our brain, we create patterns and then make predictions that make us more comfortable being out in the world. Stereotyping is a byproduct of this simplification system. The shortcuts that we use, we call stereotyping, because brains are lazy. Rather than pull all of the information from each individual person we meet, we say, oh, well, they got that shirt from this store. They're probably this kind of person. They like that kind of music, so they probably also like these other things. Rather than asking every single person the same thing, everybody who likes some band, like, I don't know, Bare Naked Ladies, probably also likes other bands related to that. Rather than ask every person, it's easier to just use shortcuts. Now, our brain actually does this not only with people, but it does it with other things too. Stereotyping or categorizing objects around us is essential so that we understand those objects. Let me give you a non-person example. When you look at a fork, your brain uses all its previous knowledge about every fork that you've ever seen or handled, and then builds a stereotype about forks. You can tell what the fork is made of, how it feels, and what its purpose is. And sometimes you can do all of that without ever touching it because your brain has those shortcuts built in. This saves you energy and time, saves your brain processing power, and you don't have to learn what a fork is every time you want to eat dinner. Unfortunately, the brain doesn't take into consideration that utensils and people are different things. People have feelings, and utensils usually don't. Categorizing people can hurt feelings, and it can also be dangerous and unhealthy. And if you think you're not stereotyping, chances are you're lying to yourself. Everybody stereotypes, even the most conscious and mindful person. Psychologist Wim Denies of Leuven University conducted a study. There is 1,000 people in a room, and you were told 995 of them are lawyers and 5 of them are engineers. So if we picked a person at random and talked to that person, and that person says they have little interest in social issues or politics, but they really like mathematical problems, would you decide that that is a lawyer or an engineer? Despite the dominating statistics, people are going to rely on their stereotypes and will probably guess that this is an engineer and not a lawyer. But what if you said, just for a second, you're like, wait a minute, brain, there is a 99.5% chance that this person is actually a lawyer. They just like math. So say lawyer. So Wim Denies' study says that even though rationally speaking, this is a room of almost all lawyers, your stereotyping detector is going off so strongly that you're like, that's gotta be an engineer. I just hit one of the 5 of them in this room of 1,000 people. Like, that's how strong stereotyping can be. It seems to me that there's actually no way of escaping stereotypes. When I was a kid, I looked at my dad and we started talking about this when I first started to realize that stereotyping was a thing. I saw something on the news and we started talking about it. And I realized that humans stereotype so strongly that if we were blind, we would probably say that you sound funny. Where are you from? You sound funny. What's different about you? You'd start to stereotype just not based on how people look. And if you were blind and you were deaf, then you would stereotype based on how people smell. And if you were blind and deaf and couldn't smell anything, maybe it would be you feel funny. Like, humans stereotype at such a base level that it's very difficult to get rid of. And it plays such an important part in the way that we gather information. It doesn't mean that it's a good way to do it. It just means that it's part of being human. If stereotypes play such a prevalent part of our daily life, it might have some basis in truth. Maybe. Like a little bit of truth that's consistently and systematically absorbed since the beginning of your existence, but the truth that you at least experienced at one point in life that then created a stereotype. It's kind of like being in a losing game of tug of war.
What do you think about that? When he broke it down the way he did, how did that strike you? Because a lot of times we automatically associate stereotyping with meanness, because there are a lot of people who use stereotyping for that purpose, to be ugly towards entire groups of people. races of people, genders of people, you name it. But how about that stereotyping that is not necessarily about trying to be ugly? The person is wearing a shirt, and you look at that shirt and you say, wow, okay, that person probably really, really likes rock and roll, and they're probably a little, you know, kind of rough around the edges. Or you look at the person and they're well-dressed, their suit or their beautiful dress, and you just assume, and you know, their hair is combed very well, and you just assume that that person is a professional. You know, the stereotyping can take us in a number of different directions. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. And I guess that one of the points that we can kind of wrap our minds around is that, at least to an extent, stereotyping is sometimes necessary and beneficial. And so I guess it comes down to partly or largely why we stereotype. What is the motive behind our stereotyping? Is it for the purpose of concluding something negative about an individual based on some ugly conclusions we have developed about the group of which they're a member? Why are we stereotyping? What is the purpose? Well, I told you that I wanted us to take a look at something else with regards to our children, and that has to do with stereotyping. I want us to look some more at stereotyping. As a matter of fact, with particular regards to the fact that they say that children actually internalize gender stereotypes as early as age. Fill in the blank for me. What age? Children internalize gender stereotypes as early as age. What is it? 18? 12? 15? At what age do children generally tend to internalize gender stereotypes? And we're not saying that they begin to stereotype. We're saying, even if on a subconscious level, they realize they are being stereotyped, and they begin to internalize the stereotypes that other people have of them. It's as early as age 10 that children can begin to internalize those stereotypes. I would say possibly even sooner than that. Think about the girls, that experiment where the little girls were asked to look at several dolls, and some of the dolls were white dolls and some of the dolls were brown dolls. And they were asked to say which one is beautiful or pretty. And they said that very often the one that they picked as being beautiful or pretty was the white doll. If they were asked if there was an ugly doll, they would point to the black doll. And these are the responses that were coming from black girls. Isn't it interesting how mean-spirited races can start at an early age to damage the self-esteem of precious children, so that instead of blessing the children, they curse the children? How about the parents, regardless of race, who tell their children, you're never going to amount to anything? What a curse. This is a 15-country study that examined how gender stereotypes affect the sexual, reproductive, and mental health of young people. Girls are vulnerable, and boys are stronger. Boys should have the courage to ask a girl out. If a boy gets his nails done, there's definitely something feminine about him. Girls should prepare to become wives and mothers, and boys should focus on their careers. In countries across the world, regardless of economic status, did you get that now? Regardless of economic status, and around the world, gender stereotypes are thriving. Cultural variations do exist. But a new global study of adolescents published in the U.S.-based Journal of Adolescent Health, suggests that stereotypes begin seeping into the mindset of children as early as age 10. Internalizing unequal gender norms has both immediate and long-term consequences. Immediate and long-term consequences on sexual, reproductive, and mental health, including risk of HIV and other sexually transmitted diseases, complications associated with early pregnancy, substance abuse, and alcohol abuse. Now listen to this now. Even when it comes to gender stereotypes, now can you imagine, think about how damaging it is for people to be racially stereotyped. And then if you have gender stereotype as a second one, can you imagine being racially stereotyped and gender stereotyped? The impact that has on the soul and the body. Listen to this now. Internalizing unequal gender norms has both immediate consequences and long-term consequences on sexual, reproductive, and mental health, including risk of HIV and other sexually transmitted diseases, complications associated with early pregnancy, substance abuse and alcohol abuse, depression, and suicide. According to the study, these health concerns begin during adolescence and can carry over into adulthood. They found that children at a very early age, from the most conservative to the most liberal societies, quickly internalized the myth that girls are vulnerable and boys are strong and independent, according to Robert Blum of Johns Hopkins University. The research was a collaboration between the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health and the World Health Organization. Researchers across 15 countries, including the United States, China, Kenya, Belgium, Nigeria, India, South Africa, and Scotland, among others, interviewed more than 400 children aged 10 to 14 along with their parents. Perception of distinct gendered roles takes root in a child's mindset between the age of 10 and 14, according to the report. Takes root in their mindset. And while the impact of these stereotypes isn't surprising, the fact that they are so common across cultures and economic status and are ingrained in children at such a relatively young age was unexpected. A 12-year-old girl participating in a study from Delhi recalled one of her female classmates being scolded by a teacher for wearing short skirts and playing with boys. After the school got over, she was sitting alone when a boy went inside the school and raped her as she was wearing her short skirt. The girl is quoted as saying in a study. In Belgium, girls' participation in sports was celebrated. Girls are 100% as involved as boys in football, a 13-year-old boy is quoted saying. Today, there are more girls playing football than boys. In China, however, an 11-year-old boy said girls must display certain male traits like strength, fearlessness, and indifference to pain before successfully participating in football. What do you think about that? What are your thoughts about girls playing football? Is it okay for them to play football? Period. Do you say it's okay for them to play football, but only if it's an all-girls league? I mean, you look at that, you know, if we were to ask the question, is it wise for girls to play football with boys who are much heavier and much stronger than they are, much faster, which means more impact when they hit? That may not be a stereotype. It may be a stereotype if we say, well, girls playing football, even with in an all-girls league, not so sure that's cool. Don't know. Someone might bring up the whole issue of concussions. And they might say, well, you know, we're not that excited about having our boys having concussions. We don't want our girls to have concussions. Do you think it's even a question then of, well, if there are concerns expressed, is it a matter of stereotyping or is it a matter of true concern? The whole discussion of women going into war and not just on the sidelines taking care of things medically, I mean on the front lines with the guns. We'll be talking about that too. Stay with me.